Do I saw also in NYU and also here, there was an article in Haaretz with Rav Maidan as far as public policy for the Orthodox establishment via homosexuals. I was wondering what the Rav's view is.
What my view is, the two separate issues here. One view has to do with one's perception or emotional relationship to the homosexuals per se. People in this category, for many of them, I'd say most of them, Mamshe Achmanis. Mrs. Achmanis can't lead her own normal life. What is it so right? Assuming they're talking about people who want to live up here, just so they can't raise a family. They are denied a significant aspect of human experience. And if they don't deny themselves totally, they're torn by guilt. So one respect. Secondly, they are, in the eyes of many, not literally excommunicated, but in one sense or another, pariahs. They are alone, in many of them, alone in two respects. Alone in that, although now that's changed a bit, they suffer the fate alone, many of them. It's very difficult for them, psychologically and practically, to come out of the closet, so to speak. I say they should, but it's very difficult. So many of them suffer without telling even people who are relatively intimate suffer in solitude. Thirdly, they're alone, not at the individual level, but at the communal level. It's only recent years that they've had some kind of organized structures. Many of them find themselves barred from being in any kehillah of any sort. Find very difficult for their own kehillahs. All of that viewed with regard to a particular individual is very, very painful. On the other hand, there are certain elements which are very disturbing by that community. Number of years, often number of years, going back maybe a generation, many years in New York, there's an Israel Day parade. Around this time, they had about a week or two ago, the day after Shavuos, I believe, this year. And it's meant to be a unifying experience, dual purpose. Number one, to express support for Israel politically, culturally, etc., economically. In addition, to try to develop, at least within the parameters, part of the community, kind of wall-to-wall sense of comedy, of mutual support, shalei v'chazok, to feel that we have also so many fights and so many machlekes, etc. Let's not share to something about which you can agree. And this, go back 30, 40 years, they've had this. A few years ago, there was a big tumult. What was the tumult about? The group of gays, men and women, I remember, insisted on participating in the parade with banners. We are gays, and you give us gay rights. I don't know just what the banners had to do, but things which promoted the cause of the big uproar in the community. The Orthodox schools, this is schools are a very big factor in this parade. The Orthodox schools threatened to pull out. I was in Hoover, and people organized it, the ACYF, whatever it is. They backed down the pressure, and these gays were pulled out. Some people asked themselves, why of all things this movement after about the gays? All the Chal Shabbos, which is a more severe affair, participate. Schools which are known to be Chal Shabbos participate. They don't want everybody to talk. So I asked you about it. I said, I think with the Chal Shabbos do not march out of the banner with the Chal Shabbos of America. They're known to be Chal Shabbos. And I'm militant about it. They're not driven by the need to find legitimization. They live as they live, and that's it. The gay movement is very militant, and they're perceived as undermining not only elements of halacha and munir, it's undermining the normal fabric of human society, and in a sense, if their platform to be adopted, undermining the integrity of Klal Yisrael. To my mind, some people exaggerate this. I couldn't understand some years back, Yair Ben-Nun, you know, so when they had the case, the El Al case, which gave the Supreme Court there was two people who worked for El Al, and they were partners, mates for life, whatever it is. And one of them wanted to have the rights which a spouse has, in some economic rights, whatever it was. And El Al fought. This is for families, not a family. Came to this, and they passed it in their favor against El Al. Yair Ben-Nun wrote a very bitter article at the time, which he said no more, no less. It was such a Medina he can't identify. And he gave the Medina a get. He said, this is, he says, the last straw. I couldn't quite understand why. Why all the Chil Shabbos, the Kikatis and Gov, with all that he lives, and he thinks only the Charedim throw get into the state. I mentioned that simply as one instance was in many cases a prevalent feeling. Rabbi Dan is a good friend of Yair Ben-Nun's, does not share that sentiment. And as you indicated, he came there, he spoke with them, he embraced them and whatnot. I would not have done that. I don't think we can take any steps which legitimize this. I think at the human level, one certainly can express empathy for them, and as I said at the beginning, and I feel that for them. But the question is, from their point of view, the feeling is fine, but how is that going to arrange our lives? And I hear your voices, which you hear, which try to at least communicate empathy. About Feldman, who's not a Shivne Yisrael, he's written a couple of letters expressing that to people who were gays. There's a fellow in England, Chabadnik, his name's Cohen. I only read a review of the book, I didn't see the book.
Yeah, of course.
I may have the name wrong, I don't know. Chabadnik in England, maybe Cohen's the other one that I read. And he expressed the position, we have to be sympathetic and inclusive, etc., etc., etc. The problem with that is that it means bringing down a certain standard and legitimizing in some respects something which until a generation ago was not only taboo in the Jewish world, taboo in the Western world. The United States Army wouldn't let them in. If someone wanted to be in the Army, he couldn't reveal that he was a homosexual. So, I know that this issue touches a lot of raw nerves. You mentioned about YU. Some years back, I think it was a YU graduation, one of the gay students at Einstein probably spoke, and he flaunted his being gay. It turned out it was some sort of a gay club. There were 9 students there all together, but it was enough to be a club. You don't have to be a very large item. And Rabbi Lam was then president, was faced with a decision about this. He felt caught in 2 pressures. One is the one that he couldn't quite prove with this. On the other hand, concerned about laws of anti-discrimination, which he was afraid that he would lose huge sums of money. People came to him with a tiny, but Georgetown did it, Georgetown Catholic University in Washington, as you well know. So the answer that was given on the part of the White administration was that the New York State laws are much tougher on this than the federal laws. So Georgetown doesn't worry about a state located in Washington, but it's worried about the federal laws so they could manage it. Some people were vehemently angry with him. Nat Lewin was ready to burn down the institution. Well, you know him. You know Nat Lewin. But anyway, he was pretty mad, and he felt they should have fought the case. He thought that the sheer level of constitutional law, he could have won it. But they didn't fight it. And a lot of people were critical. While you Rabbeim fluffed a little bit, they put an ad in the paper which said the one hand, it wasn't a mechor. It wasn't a very vigorous mechor. I was subsequently present some years later at the session of the Orthodox Forum, at which Rabbi Arlem, who was very involved in that whole forum, spoke up and said the most difficult decision he had to make in 25 years at YU as president was this decision about the gays. So it gives you a sense of how this issue has been run out of proportion. But was taken as being a question of principle over expediency, and then he came down very hard on the side of expediency. Lewin was president of this meeting too, and he let Rabbi Lam know exactly what he thought. I don't get many people to come to me with this issue. We had a few people. One fellow was Lai Shiva, who was one of the leaders of this movement, Steve Greenberg, who he should know a book about this, about his feelings. He says that he wants a, if I remember correctly the way he formulated it was, he wants a man in the bedroom and a woman in the kitchen. That's what it is. He explained also on Yom Kippur the difficulty that he has when it comes to Mincha. He knows what's written there in the Pasukim, and throw the fill loop. The problem is also depends on what you can expect if you give people advice to try to cope with the problem and overcome it. Psychologists are not too encouraging on this. Well, there's a person kind to speak to this issue much better than I can. But by and large, the literature says that a mute, I don't know, a mute, a mean can be a living, but a mute can go become straight. So So in effect, what you have to do is give that the encouragement to stand firm, appeal to the Yerushalayim, and tell them to try what they can do to go straight, and hope they'll listen. Part of the difficulty, I just want to move to a midah as well, disrespect. He said, from whom are they going to hear this? At least if they have someone who they feel sympathizes with them, feels for them, extend themselves to them on a personal plane, and then he gives them, quote-unquote, musar. Obviously, we're open to that, to someone who's blasted them all over, very critical, etc., etc. If a person wants to have any access to that community, probably what you have to do is at least to give them that sense of sympathy, etc. There are people in that community are various. The total gay community is very militant, and some of the sponsors are militant. You should see the piece Michael Boyd wrote about them. Sedeno's name. So I was hard to read. I'm trying to read. But within the former Olam, some people were Makabal, like that was the Makabal, Makabal. But in order to Makabal them in one sense, you have to Makabal them in another sense. And a great many people in our world just wish they would disappear because they don't have the wherewithal to deal with the problem. If I could tell you much more.
What does Rav Lichtenstein think about whether and how we should fight for Shmiras Shabbos in the public setting?
You ask him what is about the how? There are two considerations here. One consideration is the general question of fighting for anything. What's the Nishma? Obviously, if the results are going to be counterproductive, there's not much point in doing it. Unless you want to express a mechoir. And then the halachas of techoche, when you techoche, particularly in Barabim, which is different than techoche at the level of Yachid, when techoche will be effective, it's one thing. Ineffective, then in the public square, as you say, since it's a more grievous matter, at least at some point the mechoir has to be made. I say it's a more grievous element for two reasons. Number one, it's a chet of rabim, so there are many people involved. And people who violate Shabbos. Shabbos is such a central value in our world, and it's in certain respects, Chavetz Chaim said this, that was the Yavere which he spoke of his generation had to confront. So certainly, at some point, one has to educate to make clear what our position is, where we would like to be. The question of the how opens up all many possibilities. You can run protest meetings, you can picket. The first thing of the Boston, Chil Shabbos was not as widespread as today. He was one of the picketers. Right around, he calmed down a bit, but he went to picket. You could try to take an educational route, try to chastise in many ways. Certainly should one be mashim l'chil Shabbos as a norm? I think certainly not. But so much depends on what kind of public you're talking about. If you're talking about a public which l'chil Shabbos is already deeply ingrained and widespread, then much of it can be futile and counterproductive. It works up a lot of tensions, etc. Are you talking about a community which is pretty solid, the Shem Shabbos community? In which case, the person who Chal Shabbos, the Shem who's Chal Shabbos, is the person together. Put together is a problem beyond the specific gravity of the specific Aveder. It's a problem because of the fracture, the rupture of communal values and the nature and the character of a community. Of course, I said use judgment. Judgment has to do with the game worth the candle. What are the ultimate results? And then what kind of community you're dealing with. In some contexts, the question of the slippery slope is often envisioned. Many years ago, it must be about 20 years ago or so, there was a big tumult about a movie in Petah Tikva, which was open on Friday night. I spoke to one fellow from my yeshiva who was in Petah Tikva at the time, he was a kamunah, Ben Akiva, and he explained to me what the attitudes are. Those who are opposed, Rav Solomon was very vigorous in his opposition at the time, and those who are more tolerant. Or so those who are opposed to the limitation of different civil liberties, and those who are opposed to Chilul Shabbos. He said to me, the ones who are opposed to having the movie, say, is the movie worried about what's going to be, how many people, if instead of watching the movie theater, they watch TV in their homes, so there won't be any additional Chilul Shabbos. So why would they get to all? You understand? It's not a question of this particular movie house. This movie house opens, this place is together, and one place opens, another place opens, and before you know it, before you turn around, and Petah Tikva is like Tel Aviv. And the people who are in favor of keeping the movie house open, the same thing. So if you're worried about the movie house, let's go out and show them anyways. We can watch movies in our own privacy, our own homes. Point is, if we don't protest, so what will be that closes down, that before you know that it's closed down the street, and before you turn around, Petah Tikva is like Bnei Brak. So this will sound a little facetious about that, but it's a legitimate consideration. Which way are things moving? In addition to the kind of steps that you feel you want to take, there's also a question of priorities. If you have to deal with the question of Chilul Shabbos in the public square, as opposed to other kinds of things we're opposed to. Would we sacrifice much in the way of chinuch for this or other things? So this is in part a independent question. In part, it's a question, it's one facet of the broader question of how to confront secularism within our world, with our Medina, which means confronting it not necessarily in Zichemei or in Gula. It's one kind of confrontation. On the other hand, confronting it places where it's totally futile to fight it. Public discourse and debate about this issue is most likely to be places which have an intermediate character, which I mentioned, Petah Tikva, between Bnei Brak and Tel Aviv. Barakat, the new mayor, he sees himself as a unifying force. He says he wants to unify wall to wall every Jewish who comes to Yerushalayim. Whether he can pull it off, I don't know, but what I understand, while I was awake, he was a proposal about parking on Shabbos.
Free parking on Shabbos.
Well,
free parking to alleviate the crowding.
You need Shabbos to get rid of the crowd, though.
He says the streets are filled, they're packed there, and he wants to alleviate the...
This a nice person, his heart's in the right place, but it's not easy.
If I could return to the previous issue, as a psychologist, I'm not convinced of any of the approaches of what has been said. I have my serious doubts as to whether homosexuality is genetic or social, but you use the term that's driven, and that's certainly true. There's a quality that a lot of the homosexuals experience as if they are driven and they have no choice. Now, I wonder what ramifications does it have in two areas. One, in terms of the area of onesh, to the degree that they feel that they have no choice and they're driven, to what degree are they a bar onesh as we usually experience it? And to what degree would that change our perception of what they're up against and what's happening?
We speak of onesh with an ayin and shin. It's no less relevant than onesh with aleph and samach. Many of them say we're anusim. Well, the question of how you define onus is a serious question of halacha and a serious question of general law as well. The Gemara, in some context, seems to take psychological impulses to be onus of one sort or another. Let's take an area which is distant from the area of values, but which exemplifies this. Says, if a person is compelled to sell, so the sale holds up. Why? Because, given a sort of mercantilistic approach, anybody who sells a house, sells a seder, is an onus. Why is it an onus? So apparently the onus doesn't cancel the sale. Now, would you say that someone's an onus who needs money? Not money for bread, but nefesh. The pressure, economic pressure that he feels. And in order to do that, he steals, he robs, whatever he does. That would not hold up as an onus. So for one purpose, the purpose of legitimizing the Zubin, more as recourse to that. But there's a much more serious discussion with God in the same vein. We got to wish that 2 days to the Migash Boavas. Starting Mari is a person to give someone a matoner to a girl that he fell in love with. Gave her a gift. So, depending on how you love Shad Nasuga, we're going to 1 day to the Migash. That's defined as an onus, because of his passion for the girl, and the sale is invalidated. Not just that you absorb him, but that's a factor which indicates a sort of anus. Mamish applied aloha of anus. On the other hand, the Rambam, when he talks about areas where Pidim wants to be all about Yavro, and he doesn't do it, that ain't the Nisayin. So I'm differentiated between Enes and Afshay and Enes and external Enes. So if someone threatened him and he knuckled under, so the Ramesh Yikai and some other Shem say he's Chayiv. Ramesh says he can't be Chayiv, he's an Anus. He writes a Makkah from Moilech, or he's also an Anus. But says the Rambam, if he's not under external duress, by his own pressures, he's ill or whatever it is. The Lam says he's chayv in business, well, that's not the fact, it's an onus for the purpose of lunch. I guess there you have some. So even though the chatchile in other areas, maybe it should be one of the Gimel Aveiros that he's able because of his physical condition, one of the Gimel Averis. The Rambam says you don't recognize this as anus, the first part of it. I was pointing out that certain instances in which psychological forces, inner internal forces, see different levels, different degrees of recognition as a person lunch. Whether there might be, even in the context of the Rambam, there might be some spectrum, certain kinds of pressures, internal pressures, not giving greater acknowledgement of recognition than others, and it's entirely feasible. It's also feasible that there's cultural factors which enter the picture. The more culture, it's the equivalent of external alienness, in other words, and not so. The question of alienness is what can you expect of a person, what can you demand of him? I think a very good case can be made up of someone who says that it's the equivalent of alienness. In other areas, you have the recognition as well. Mar says in Sanhedrin, Choshed al Arayis, Choshed al Eidis. It was big b'chalek some of the Sushenim. Tesis, Drif, and Rabban say, it's a Choshed al Arayis. Means he's not a Yichud, he's not careful, he leads this kind of life or engages in certain kinds of activity which could lead to a degree of suspicion of what he does. So, there you have a chayis nigavam, a chayis nigavam, but the question is part of that. However, if a person is mamash eivir, the rai is possible. Tesis, what's the data? Chayis nigavam means mamash eivir, the rai is engaged in illicit sexual intercourse. Nonetheless, it's kosher ladies. Kosher is kosher is teme, maishim, mochen, velo, teavon, plenty of vanilu, soni, the pastin leidu, tsunin leidu, the yeshua, the mari hocher, that's one day. Inami, so that day is against what is. Inami hocham shum di yitzro tokfo, vadov li nivelov gam li uviyad deg yitzro tokfo kol kach kmo be'erva. The different levels of yitzro tokfo, and this explicitly says that homosexuality is presumed to be less pressing than is heterosexual. Now again, no one suggests Yitzchak Tikva is a ptur from Anshin. As far as defining the personality, to what extent he's in Avayin or not, for that purpose Yitzchak Tikva is sufficient. So we have to have a differential approach in these areas, depending on circumstances, depending on Anshin, to what extent you acknowledge that internal pressures might also be defined as an anus of sorts.
Quoted as saying that it's mutter to cheat on taxes because of Kasabasa, of Akum.
It's mutter to do what?
Mutter to cheat on taxes. Rather, Goyish state in America, and it's been a big scandal recently. How does Rebbe think we should look at those in the more right wing side of the community who have views that seem to us to be very problematic ethically, even clearly so, and yet have halachic nimukim for those views. Are we prone for finding a problem with it? Is
that what you do? Open up the whole place of Asikas Kelim. Pachyud Beis, Atim Mishahem, Shavuot. See what the Rambam has to say about this. You're probably wondering, what's this doing with Asikas Kelim? So the Rambam generally stuck to interpreting the text in front of him. But every so often he thought there was a terrible avle, a social malady, ethical corruption. He deviated from something needed to be righted, to be confronted. He deviated from his text and went off in rush. Here are two examples. One example has to do with the question of medicine, engage in medicine, don't engage in medicine. So the Seftim Sochim addresses up this question. He says with regard to that, well, great is safe for the voice. It's one of the things that Chachamim proves it was great is safe for the voice. What's terrible about safe for the voice? So Rashi explains, because people, instead of relying on doctors and going to see doctors, relied on Kvitlech and Tefillah, whatever it was, and going to the doctors. So I'm right over there. In spiritual Mishnayos, I usually comment only on the Mishnah and the Tosefta. Here's something so terrible I can't pass it by. I must make comments. Now they're not talking about what he would consider an ethical malady, but a philosophic malady, a practical malady, but something which he thought was terrible. And he says the people who take this point of view, this fatalistic attitude, he says, fools, why don't you say the same thing about someone who has a field and he sows it and plows it and plants? So they also say, why is he rely upon farming? You should rely upon the Indian rainfall, the rain priests. That's one point. Then he came across, as the Rambam did, Mishneh Kelim, which talks about coins should be taken out of our circulation, and the status is the Kabbalah, I'm Kabbalah. דינו שנפסה והתקינו לתלות בצבא קטנה, תמי. אחרי סלע שנפסלה והתקינה להיות שוקה בתמיה, עד כמה תפסד ירושרי לקיימה שיהיה דינים פה מכאן יקוץ. מי שסייז, that have these coins that you know qualifier, so they become a כלי, coins are such another כלי. He didn't make it a כלי, why? Because obviously I can use it, I can use it for money. So you're using it as a piece of jewelry for your daughter. Secondly, the Mishnah also gives you a standard of the degree of malfunctioning of the coin which permits you to keep it. It's in very bad shape. So a little bit in bad shape, so you have to chop it up, your coins. So the Rambam there says, should use it as shechtoch oto Hashem, the shlishtamesh ba o yateh ba etzgovet uchavim וזה שידמו המון האנשים קצת מהיחידים שאין ההתאה מותרת ושזאת ההתאה מותרת עם בתי כוכבים הוא טעות דעת בלתי אמיתי אשר השם יתברך השם יתברך בדין כי ינוק ומרכי עצמו לעקום או לעבדת כוכבים עצמה, אבל זו היסוד מסוף. כמו שבו הפרק, רב רוב חשב מקונאי הוא, זה כמו עושה יוחר יגלוי מעלו בפולם, רב חשב לדקדק עמו בחשבון, בעניין יגלום יערים עליו ויתהו, ואמרו, אם כן דיברה תורה בעובד כוכבים, שתחת ידיך, זה יהיו קטרולר, וכן בבית כוכבים שאינו תחת ידיך. ואם החמיר התורה הגזלו של בית כוכבים, כבחום הגזלו של ישראל. וכהן, וכן לא מותר הבידוי והתחבולה, ומיני הרמאות והונאות והעקיפים על עובדי כוכבים, אמרו אסור על גדול דעת הבריאות, אפילו לא של בית כוכבים, וכל שכן, בדבר שיכול לבוא ידי חילול, חילול השם, שזהו חטא גדול והגע לאדם תכונות רעות ואלה הדעות כולן אשר בהר השם יתברך שהוא יתאב אותם ויתאב עושה אחד מהם פוסט את הבת שלוקח כל עושה אלה כל עושה עוול ויצאנו מכוונותינו הנה This is not an ordinary normal task over here אבל נאור שאינו ראוי השוואה, השוותה מהם, הוא אמר, ושוב כוונת משנה לגרום על ידי פסוד משנה. I know who the prominent pesach is, but I tell my sister Shoyer, about 2 years ago someone sent me a letter, told me a rov in, I think it's in Flatbush, I'm not sure. Was a question and answer session asked the rabbi, whatever it's called, in the Shabbos afternoon. He was asked by the government in Texas. And if you want to see Haver Gerer Saver, he said that it was all right, why you don't get caught. And he says that if anyone would challenge him, how do you say such a thing, he will lie brazenly, deny that he ever said it. This is Shabbos afternoon, so the rabbi tape recorder with him, I couldn't catch him. He wanted to know what I thought. I sent him, he wasn't involved, I sent him a sharp letter. Not about him, he was a decent fellow. But about this Kamishli Apaisi. I went through the various shadows involved, the issues of Chilul Hashem, etc. And the issues of substantively. I believe I ended the letter by telling this person who wrote to me, if you want to know what a real Pesach has to say, once I spoke to Rav Shlomo Zalman and mentioned to him, there were some people in America cheated on taxes, Voss, Skengel Zanad Azach, and Hans Fafuma Yid, and out of the Mshol. Couldn't believe it, such a tummy he was. Couldn't believe that people deceive the government and don't pay the taxes. His language is very sharp. There are not many things in Torah with certain Averis that's called Torah Shem Lokech. And it's generic as well. Toshok Yokoi say, Eile Koil Isi Ogil. If I met this Rav, I would ask him, tell me, this is Ogil, but you think it's Mutra do Ogil? But it's not Ogil. With tzidkis. And I can imagine, I don't know where this got, where the letter I got was about 2 years ago in a private communication. But I get, you said it got public knowledge, I don't know.
I
I would imagine Gary Rosen.
Shabbat afternoon is in the Jewish, is written up in Jewish Week this week.
What was this?
That Shabbat afternoon session, exactly where you described it, is in the Jewish Week this week. A whole article.
I don't know. It's a dreadful thing, and it has no justification in our world. If you're dealing with a situation which someone should confront in the medieval world, the government with themselves a bunch of bandits, people who were out to murder, to plunder, we know what medieval history was like, or even recent Eastern European history. There was no consideration for this. A government says you have in America, which is tries to be just and fair. But they got the Messira. He said the American government is not, it's not a question of Messira, because it's a proper law abiding government. I'm sad to hear that this the whole matter became public, because it's a terrible thing.
Say a person would, there's a coup that a person would not rely on. He would have like his wife relies on it, or someone that he's close to, and he would get benefit from it. Let's say, for instance, on Shabbos, he won't carry it, but his wife will push the stroller. So, in addition to any halachic problems, does religion think that a person should refrain from doing that?
I can't give you an unqualified answer. It depends partly what we're talking about. Are you talking about something which generally is assumed to be a pidin problematic, and but there's certain parts of the community that are makel. I'm talking about a chumre, but which has been adopted by some people's community, but it's not the kubel that it's also. It's known as a chumre, and these things go change culturally. So I think at certain times it, otherwise not. The question you mentioned about carrying. 50 years ago, the reliance upon Erevin was almost taken for granted. In America, there were no Erevin then practically. But then the Meshes, Chodin Vrochet, a son-in-law who lived in one community, a son lived in another community, and each of them convinced him reasons which are to embrace the local reasons. One of them is Staten Island, because it's an island, to a lot of native. But once the door had been opened, it was hard to shut it. There were all kinds of factors involved, there were real estate values involved, there were questions of the community. People who were not brought up and having to stay home and shop as little children find it unbearable. They just can't do it. But that the Maisi Shoyer, Rabbi Sassam's Chodin Vracher, lived in Yerushalayim. During the summer, he used to wear fur, a foot of, you know what it is, a heavy coat with fur lining, over his talus. He didn't want people to know the thing he doesn't rely on daily. That's the way it was perceived. What is Chodin Vracher once told me? He remembers when he and the Rav were both in Warsaw, so the Rav is a Shem Dovel, he doesn't rely on the Erev. Particularly in Warsaw, it was basically Chassidish in town, the Chassidim all rely on the Erev. Suddenly he's back with the fighting Boer Park, so the Satmar Hebrew were in favor of being Mekel, and the Litvish were in favor of being Machmer. Today it's quite differently. Many people today are Machmer the Erev. And from my point of view, properly so, because we're really dealing with a cooler. It's very problematic. The Mishnah Berurah, who's become more and more widely accepted in the Torah world, said explicitly with the Sheir Shu Mizidin, but certainly it's not something one should be relying upon. So I'm just noting, I'll give you a further example of the same area. At Tosadeshin's time, I think it was Tosadeshin, some wanted to have to institute a sort of chumra in Eruv. And he was opposed to it, based on the Gemara. The Gemara says, we got the Gittin, invoke a certain chumra, so you cast a shadow of a previous Gittin. In order to avoid that, Shalei Tzedah, Ra'az Gittin Rishenim, you avoid being Machmer, from Sebech and Kulus. Does that apply in every situation? No. There's a sefer called Talim Rati. Someone in Yerushalayim wrote, a very fine sefer. Nogi and Mekilas and Chumus, all these problems about Chumus and not Chumus. With regard to the question you mentioned specifically, I know it's an issue. But for myself, and I think that's all much should be made, I would ask a person to carry something for me. Borders, I question issued a milako, if you can't tell a goy, I can't tell a Jew either. And this is not dependent upon the question we discussed in Shem and Achreinim, but the Gatarif Neivo. What if you do something which you think is muto, and you give it to somebody who thinks it's also? Or vice versa, you think it's also, you think somebody thinks muto. Do both come under the Neivo? Neither comes under the Neivo. One does, one does not. That is not relevant to Shabbos. And Shabbos is a separate halacha. Kom halacha liyasebayim, we've got the Yom Zekochem, we've got the Shabbos. And there, Rashi, the Torah explains that Kom halacha liyasebayim, not just you shouldn't do, but should not be done. Done for whom? Done on your behalf. The Ramban chastises Rashi because he gives the impression it's the Deraisa. The Ramban told you the Rabbanan. He notes a number of places that Rashi, he thinks, went too far in adopting prices. And Machatz Choshefer, Rashi gives the impression it's the Deraisa. Isa Peres, the Deraisa, etc. But at least with the Rabbanan, there's no question that you should not be telling someone to do a melacha that you think is a melacha. It's called melacha yasabayim, as you wouldn't tell a girl. So telling someone to carry stuff before you, I think, is very seriously problematic. Unless you argue that if he's not a goya is outside all paleis to neto, but here's something which this person thinks is mutar. So you have no problem. Now the case that you mentioned is a little bit different. If your wife thinks you're going to push a baby carriage, she has her place to back her up. She can't ask her to do it for you. She do it for herself. It's her child, don't listen to your child. And she's doing this not at your behest, and not even at the other Mishnah. She knocks out the Nachash and Nachash and Israel. To the banana from it or not, because she's not doing it herself, she's doing it to her. So. But there's no question you benefit from it, otherwise you'll all be staying home. I think there's a distinction there which can be sustained, and in cases which the chair difficulty involves, instances you mentioned might hear the touch Michelin bias as well. You deal with the case, for you it's a Darbanon, if you let a child do that for you, it's a Daraisa. If you let your wife do it for you, it's a Darbanon. There's room to consider that. But there are variables involved, as I said before, and I wouldn't paint everything with the same brush. Yes?
Should a husband and wife follow the same psukim, basically? Should she follow his minhagim and his psukim, and should she also adopt this tefillah, or can they have different ways of doing
it? The number of tshuvas which take the position she takes, that they should have the same Same psakim, which generally means that the wife should adopt the psakim of the husband. Katz and Ellison's going to give worked at Holy Oyed, women and halachir. I published an article, I forget just where it appeared, I'm sure you can dig it up, which summarizes these psakim. That was not the case in Lov's house. What some in Lov's family. My wife once came in to see her grandmother chopping up her liver or whatever it was, and Shabbos with a shinui. Cutting up instead of with a shinui. And she says, Baba, why do you have to do that? At home we do it without a shinui. And she says, Chayim Tovich, and she'll do with the Briski Chumbris, never Krishna Briski Kulis. So listen, I didn't adopt all the Briski Chumbris, so I didn't adopt all the Briski Kulis. She was a woman spunk. The day she got married, so Reb Chaim sent a messenger to tell her she shouldn't fast. Because the Briski have a thing about fasting. They think you'll die if you fast. Not to fast. She sent back with the Shliach, says, Zof the Briski Rabbi Chavshin HaPaisi. Her father was going on his own right. She said, tell the Briski Rabbi, name me Reb Chaim, they already have a Paisi. And many issues in the Rav's house. Again, not things which are categorically also, but Shmugger, all Pesach. The Rav Yisrael Nizer, but all of us not. Towards Zman Rabbi Natam and Tzei Shabbos, the Rav Nizer's family was not. And the gradations of that, one of my sons, he waits an achtel, his wife waits 72 minutes. That's the way I had been brought up. But once, I must say, I was once when I was visiting in the States some years back, so I used to go in as much as I could to see a shul of Rabbi Soloveitchik Zadok. After the shul, someone comes over and asks about a question somewhere along these lines that you mentioned. And he said, no, the wife should adopt us. And I said, Rebbe, I might share with your mother and my wife, I tell the story about the chopping, whatever was needed to be chopped. He said, no, Mistam, that was a chumrah. Something which is not a chumrah, but a question of machlek, he said, Pesach Din, not just a chumrah. He thought that she should be adopted. But I tell you clearly that was done in the Rav's house. And and the question of Hetzor and Shabbos, and the Eilu, in many families, that's a practice. The rationale for those who assume that she have the same meaning, these and many women, not all, touch a raw nerve in general, because what's the assumption? If you live in one community and move to another community, so if you ain't Daitalaksa, you know, if Daitalaksa, you're equipped to adopt the kumas of the makam from which you've come and to which you've come. If we have ain't Daitalaksa, only the kumas of the new place and the old place. So people who write about this, one of the I remember one of the Jewish towns, of course, over there, said, it's like a new place. It's a new market. You left the father's house, there's another husband's house. The others argue that he should share his son by law, that she should act conform to the wish of the husband, etc., and not stake out independently for other reasons. All of this touches the question of authority within a home, structure of a home, to what extent is it the husband's home within which the wife finds herself, or is it jointly and mutually their home? As you can understand, this touches upon, as I've said, many raw nerves, which have nothing to do with minhagim, which have to do with the structure of the fundamental relationship. That nature of the relationship there the certain flexibility. Areas in which a person, even if he has the authority, can forego of Shemachal Kvedi Kvedi Machal. And a couple which decides they want to have a more egalitarian relationship than might be possible, necessary, and halacha, can do so. But then we come back to the earlier question. I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from, but if you read Ellison's piece, you'll find Chuba's prominent people for my great, great respect. I don't think otherwise.
I've been asked in a situation where there are two different menhagim, mother and father. What about the children? Are there any guidelines as to how they are to be educated?
Unlike most of the people here, you've raised a family. You know, these issues are not subject to up and down. Must have mentioned Meshe Soloveitchik. At one point he lived in Khaslavich. It's a small town. And was raising his daughters. They weren't observant of the Achtel, which means waiting about an hour and a half plus, but say Shabbos, he would slap them. He moved to Warsaw, and he saw that living in Warsaw, this ain't going to fly. And he stopped. I didn't share with Shabbos yesterday, he'd the Achtel know. You have to use judgments on these issues. I don't think, I mean, if you deal with an Issa, convinced categorically, Mamash also, you're restrictive. If you adopt the Surah Chumras, even Chumras you think are not just marginal Chumras, you think are real strict Chumras. You're more flexible. Certain areas, leave it to the child as he grows up to decide. I never discussed any of my children observing the act. The breakdown was some of my children do, some of my children don't. I never made an issue of it. For a simple reason. I knew the Goyim was not cheshish for it, the Parvash was cheshish for it. So, this is exactly the point to which to apply pressure. You can't press for everything. You have to select what you think is crucial and important.
There are certain menhagim which are anchored much more strongly, such as the wife comes from a community where they keep 3 hours after play shakes and the
My father came to the 3 hours difference. My mother gave a 6 hours difference. And if you run a kitchen, I don't think it would be such insuperable difficulty.
The question is, what did they teach you? Did they leave it up to you to make a decision?
They didn't teach me anything about on this issue. Uh-huh. I knew that was the situation. In due time, I got moved more to the Shivisha world. Shivisha world meant more than the Lithuanian world. She meant more my mother's tradition. So on this issue, I waited, not the sixth, I waited 5 and a half, whatever it is, but roughly that area. You can't make a federal case out of everything. Okay.
Thank you.
In many places, it's clear that it could be my crowd. Yeah, we passed this. Here's a place to go every summer, somebody has some sense of a gay bar. It's Muta, it's Muta film too. It's us and us and everybody else.
It just goes to show
maybe that kind of copy.
I'm not sure that we're sitting in the bed.
Nicely, one sack is full of such pieces. Because the living standards of observance, where the things probably speaking, it's part of the ability of the Ukraine. If you were something which has been in German, printed with Allah, you can't say that. This is something we have to the position of the Jews. So they're a different standard. Not everyone has done the same standard. It's a perfect religion.
And also, so
Some people think that everybody has to be excited the way they are.
I have one more, although people
think so that's what Hassan thought. That preference is good. You don't feel like everyone doesn't the way you do it. But this is much more of a topic.
That's
it.
Yeah.